Rhea. How you going? That's right, it's Monday, December 21. It's almost Christmas. I really hope you've got all your shopping done, because it is fucking bedlam out there. I went for a walk. I'm like, I'm glad I got all of old mate's presents sorted on the weekend, because it's going to be fucking Mad Max for the next 4 days, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, I am your host, James Clemens. I'm a writer sometimes, Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, a pretty chill Larry Armour Studios. Old mate's been back in the office, she's now on holidays, so it's nice and clean, because it's just me in here. I'm in here giving you the lowdown on the very, very, very start of the NBA season, because that's it! We're here! Woo! And we're repping Australia just a little bit. That's what we do. That's right. Basketball's back in like 2 days. That means this is literally the last season preview show for this 2021 season, which is bloody nice. So we're going to wrap up all the predictions. We're going to have our title pick. And we're going to have the final last top five season of Blokes for Every Award. Basically, that's our award picks, including like the scoring, rebound titles, assist champs, etc. So that'll be fun. There you go. I'm going to give you the cheat sheet to who's going to win everything. You can go spend some money. And of course, we've got some yeah nows. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. And we've got our back take house where we're serving up a flame grilled take. And the best part, though, is because this is the last pre-season before the season starts season preview show, we've got real life honest to glob game reviews with a bit of an extra new look and feel, which will be pretty, pretty nice. I'll tell you that much. Pretty excited. The season's here. I'm previewing actual games because they're on Wednesday. Unbelievable. We'll close out with a brand new deli review as well. He's covering a Christmas classic, which is always great. And you're going to enjoy that. All right. Awesome show. An absolutely jam-packed show. So let's bloody get to it. NBA Star Episode 517. Let's go!
This is Matthew Dellavedova and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better! Especially this holiday season. I don't know, if you've been paying attention, Shaq is literally like, I don't know how that dude does so many ads for so many different things, but he manages it. And I guess, look, that's how you stay rich, isn't it? You're like, I've got a lot of money from my NBA days, but people love me, so I'm going to keep making money. So I'm going to be super rich. It's awesome. It's like JCPenney, insurance, just doesn't stop. He's out there doing Tonka toys. But I guess you also better watch out if you're Rudy Gobert, because Rudy Gobert, let's just start off today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with a daily whip around, just went and signed the biggest contract in the history of the NBA for centers, which in terms of someone like Shaq, that's just like red meat to a dog. They're going to be like, Rudy Gobert got signed for 5 years, $205 million. And I could have fucking painted the goddamn floor with him. That big French bastard. So Shaq will basically have Rudy lined up, I reckon, all season in a similar way that he's had, you know, Dwight Howard, JaVale, etc. over the years. So Rudy Gobert is the stuff at Tower. That is the big news. He got paid. Not actually the Supermax as well, which is pretty interesting because he could have gotten that. He's a two-time Defensive Player of the Year, three-time All-NBA dude. Reckon that's because he wanted to keep flexibility in the roster. I mean, sure, it's only at a difference of $21 million across the 5 years, so not much flexibility, Rudy! But still, cool. Third biggest deal ever, behind Giannis and Rusty Westbrook. Most for a center ever. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in year nahs. Gotta send a good year nah from Matty Hours. Other news, Willie McDowell-White, the Aussie! He got signed by the Rockets, and then he got cut. but you saw a lot of this in the last couple of days because it's basically a way for teams to keep players' G League rights. Sign them, non-guaranteed contract, boom. Keep the G League rights, keep an eye on them, keep them in your system. William McDowell-White, is one of those now. Son of Daryl White, which is awesome. Right, who else got extended? Kuzma, which is pretty neat. 3 years, $40 million, a player option on that last year as well. Very good spot for him. I mean, he's what, 25? So 3 year deal, player option, you know, pretty much in his prime to really cash in if he needs to. So that's, I don't know, it feels fair. Like, Kuzma is wildly, wildly, wildly overrated by all Lakers fans. But at the same time, does a pretty good job of filling in the gaps around LeBron and AD and co. And it's going to be fascinating to see how he fits this year when they've got so many extra sort of little weapons on that roster. Does he sort of fall by the wayside? Does he step up a little bit more? Who knows? But he still looks like the Armenian Allen, and you can't tell me, Jack. Linsanity was back for a second, then wasn't. Yeah, big fuck around with his with Golden State trying to sign Jeremy Lin so they could have him on their G League team and have his rights if they needed him for the big leagues. And he couldn't get a release from his Chinese contract quick enough. So he's like, ah, come on, man. Just because I'm like Taiwanese, bro. What are you doing? Tough scene for Linsanity. He's been out there training with the Ignite, which is the G League NBA team that they've got going this year. And Golden State were like, let's get him over with us. And because if we need him, we'll have him. That'll be handy. So, didn't happen. Here's hoping that Linsanity gets back. Because having been in Brooklyn, having had the season tickets for when Linsanity joined the Nets, and actually being lucky enough to be in New York a couple of years prior to that when Linsanity itself was actually happening, I got to go to a Knicks-Raptors game, I think it was. Maybe Knicks-Grizz, I can't remember which one. At MSG, in the middle of Linsanity. It was fucking great. And then you saw the impact that he could have on a franchise in Brooklyn a couple of years later. Especially around our seats. Like, it was like Lin's family were always there, family and friends. It was awesome. So, yeah, look, I need some more Linsanity in my life. I reckon he's awesome. It's a damn shame. James Harden. Is there anything new on him being traded yet, Jimmy? Well, kind of, but nah, but kind of. Look, beyond what we had on Friday's show, talking about how the Houston Rockets have gone, look, James, we understand that you want to go to Brooklyn and maybe Philly, but also pull your fucking head in and go fuck yourself, because we're going to trade you where we want to trade you because you've got 2 and a bit years left in your contract, so I don't know what to tell you. Then we had today a Houston radio guy, Jerno, said that an impeccable source, air quotes, says that the Raptors and the Celtics, he reckons, are the favorites right now for Harden. It'd be apparently a package around Pascal Siakam for the Raptors and more, or Jaylen Brown and more there for the Celtics. I can't imagine or see either of those really working out. You really think Harden's looking around the league going, you know where's awesome for me to land right now? Boston. Where can I go that's going to have some of the worst strip clubs in all of the USA? Ah, Boston, there we go. Next up, Portland. Oh, jeez. Minnesota-y. Look, Raptors, again, it just feels like they're on the downswing. And for them to roll the dice with Harden for Siakam, I mean, it makes sense for the Raptors because it keeps them afloat. But they've now got, what, Lowry, Siakam, Fred VanVleet, the fighting VanVleets. They've lost Gasol. They've lost Serge Ibaka. I don't know. I just don't like that fit that much. Whereas the Celtics, that's just, ugh. Do you want to watch and stymie fucking Jason Tatum's growth? Boom. You've got Kemba Walker. Oy, it's all over. Don't like that. Other news, I don't know. Look, Harden, I keep mentioning this. We still might get the Allen Iverson Denver-Detroit trade where it's like 2-3 days out from the season. Clock's ticking. So we'll see what happens. Maybe, but probably not. Thomas, not Kobe Bryant, got fined $45K for that fight with, when he tried to fight Blake Griffin, which was pretty funny. He was basically shoving and pushing and apparently made inappropriate contact with a ref, which makes it sound like he touched him in the dick, but that's all right. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did. Anyway, so $45K lighter, Thomas, not Kobe Bryant. Now, we mentioned roster cuts with Willie McDowell-White. I've got a few more. They are coming thick and fast. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, former number 2 pick. Got cut by the Knicks. It's pretty funny because I love there was a whole hullabaloo about it when he was signed by the Knicks. Tibbs is like, man, we just love MKG the way he fucking plays hard all the time. He brings leadership. You cut. Thanks, Michael. We also forgot that you can't shoot, which seems to be a big thing in the NBA. Speaking of another bloke who can't shoot, and he's basically like a different version of MKG, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson got cut by Minnesota. Frank the Tank was waived by Sacramento, which is still one of the funniest fucking things in the world that Charlotte turned down four first-round picks in order to take Frank the Tank. Absolute fucking craziness. They let him walk a couple of years later. Phoenix let him walk again, and Sacramento fucking waived the dude. It's all within 5 years. What a world. Ray John Tucker got dropped by the Clips. It's a bit of a shame. Don't mind me, a bit of Ray John. Jordan Bell was signed and then cut by the Wiz just to keep his rights. Trevion Graham and Nick Stauskas, Sauce Castillo, got cut by the Bucks. And at the moment, Kung Fu Thon is safe because the Cavs got rid of Levi Randolph, Charles Matthews, and Matt Mooney ahead of Thon. So for the moment, it seems like he's made the cut, baby, because I think the Cavs are at 17 players now with those cuts, and that's 15 on your roster, 17 with your two ways. So you absolute little ripper. And in this week in, Kyrie Irving is a massive dickhead. At least this week he was a kind of vaguely funny dickhead when he walked around the court in Boston burning sage. It's also one of those things where you're like, oh, okay, Kyrie, getting lots of hugs from all of his former teammates there in Boston. It's still like, oh, yeah, that's nice. I'm pretty sure everyone still fucking hates you, though, Kyrie. And it's like, oh, I'm burning sage to get rid of the bad vibes. The bad vibes were there because of you, you idiot! Just fucking walk around with sage burning, like, you know, tucked in the back of your fucking pants or something, you moron. Jesus. And in this week on Shitting on the Clippers, the Jerry West saga, the $2.5 million, turns out our man on the inside, who was like, oh, no, the Clippers promised to pay me $2.5 million to get them Kawhi. And then they didn't give it to me, and I can definitely prove it. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's much proof in a surprise twist. And the Clippers and Jerry West are like, yo, look, the NBA opened up their investigation over the weekend into this. And the Clippers and Jerry West are like, all right, yeah, we have no idea what this fucking guy's talking about. They probably do, but there's probably no proof about it. This is how the NBA works. There's no doubt a million of these little fucking backroom deals going on all the goddamn time. This guy just got shafted. Or he had just like, you know, a kind of little side conversation. Maybe he gave Uncle Dennis's phone number to Jerry West. And Jerry West maybe made in passing a hilarious like joke about, ah, man, I guess we owe you like 10% of your salary. And he's like, yeah, you do. And then took them to court for it. What a moron. And in the last of the preseason takeaways from the last couple of games over the weekend, I mean, we had the Aussies, their last little run of action. Simo and Matisse Thybul, got out there for a little bit of a run around for the Sixers against the Pacers. Simo played 26 minutes. Embiid didn't play. Simo missed a three, but, you know, he had 9, 5, and 8. Anyway, Matty T, 14 minutes, 1.1 rebound, and then 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Oh, can you say it with me? Defensive menace, Matty T. Love it. We mentioned on Friday's show, Josh Greeny-Green was out there that day for the Mavs for his last little run. Looked pretty good in the preseason. Same with Patty. And then the Cavs played an extra game over the weekend. Thon got out there for 10 minutes, 0 points, 1 field goal that he attempted. Missed it. 1 turnover. 4 fouls. Thon, you're not doing yourself any favors, mate. Dele and Dante Sexum both sat out as well. Dele's out with a concussion. Now, this has happened before with Dele in a concussion where he was out for like an extended period of time. And it turned into something a little bit worse. So, you know, prayers up for King Dele. First of his name, Smasher of Tins. This is what you get when you spend your entire life fucking in and under packs, playing as fucking Ruck Rover for the Maryborough High School 1s and 2s. Jingles got out there as well on Friday, 24 minutes off the bench with Royce O'Neal back, as you'd expect. Figured that O'Neal will be the starter for the Yaz, and Jingles will come off the bench and be a lot more of the playmaker, small forward, point forward, you know, alongside Donnie Mitchell, Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, Conley, etc. So you had 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 3 of 7, but only 1 of 5 from 3. Remember, Jingles started off pretty slow from 3 last year. Hopefully he's all right this year. Keep tabs on him. And bangers! 18 minutes against Miami in the Tampa Bay Raptors our final preseason tilt. 4.7 rebounds, assist and a steal. Missed both these threes, though. But, you know, what are you going to do on the big jobs? We did see LaMelo Ball throwing some insane passes. We'll talk about that in a second, which is a big takeaway. I mean, Cole Anthony hit basically a game winner. So make of that what you will. Look, I've got a lot of time for Cole Anthony. I think it'll be fun. I love pointing out the fact that his dad got busted and arrested for, like, soliciting a prostitute in New York. But, I mean, otherwise, you sort of take away not a giant amount from this end of the preseason. It feels very truncated beyond, like, the simple fact, like, the teams like the Hawks are actually out there starting John Collins at a total cocktail rather than the $20 million man. Danilo Gallinari. And you think that's a good thing. Like, I think it's awesome. You've got Bogdan and Gallo coming off the bench for the Hawks. They beat the Grizzlies in an absolute rib snorter of a game. It was 117-116, I think. And there's other dudes like Dylan Brooks that popped up. Ja Morant still looks like an absolute gun. Can't wait for Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. to come back for the Grizz. I reckon they'll be a legit, but yeah. I don't know. Fun times. Fun times. That's the preseason. I'm kind of happy it's done because it's like watching really much more vaunted summer league, isn't it? Right, though, what about we do a quick Better Than Lonzo Ball, and then we'll do a Legend of the Weekend.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. LaMelo Ball, look, I can't give it to him. Lonzo was better than his little brother this week. Gotta love that. 34 minutes in the last game for the Pels was Lonzo. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. While LaMelo, his passing was absolutely wild. He's like throwing full court, like fucking leg spinner underarm passes, which is awesome. Also missed literally almost all of his shots. He had 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 turnovers. The old quadruple single. And he went 0 of 4 from 3. But he shot 1 of 10. Which is why I'm always a little bit like, I don't know if he's going to win Rookie of the Year. Is he going to hit enough shots? Just saying. So, look, Lonzo is better than LaMelo from this game. But there is someone I did want to throw out there as like a little bit better than Lonzo Ball. And it might be Killian Hayes. He was awesome for the Pistons against the Wiz in his first, well, not his first, but, you know, his last preseason tilt. 11 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 turnover. Look the goods. I don't know if you saw it, but it was pretty great. He and D-Rose are going to be at one hell of a fucking 1-2 punch off the bench. And fellow draftee Denny Avdija played in that same game, was pretty good. 32 minutes, 9 points, 10 rebounds, 3 steals. Love me some Denny. So there you go. They're both better than Lonzo. What can you do? Legend of the week. Legend of the weekend. Turns out, bam, Adebayo paid for his family's entire year of rent to help out a single mum of twins to avoid some eviction. So bam, Adebayo, absolute fucking dead set legend. And Jrue Holiday has already pledged to donate the remainder of his 2020 salary to small black businesses and nonprofits, which is fucking great. Black-owned businesses and nonprofits. What a fucking awesome, awesome pair of dudes. Just cool. Good on them. All right, let's take a quick break and get back to the big stuff. Tell you what, the season 2021 predictions, it's going to all happen right after. What do you reckon? Let's say, this one.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kidde.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, righto. Here's a question for you. What do Chris Paul, NASA bloke Scott Kelly, and co-founder of Reddit, Alexis Ohanian, have in common, mate? Well, turns out they're all really goddamn smart and have created audio courses to teach you also smart stuff. Because they're on Knowable. That's right, it's a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in small, bite-sized audio courses. They're awesome. They're short like a podcast. They're smart like an audiobook, and it's 100% ad-free. Basically, I like thinking of it as Spotify for learning stuff, and I love it. I'll tell you that much, they're awesome. So the bloke from NASA, Commander Scott Kelly, he's just out there teaching us stuff about space, which is unreal. Chris Paul is all out there, like, basically explaining how his performance benefits from having a plant-based lifestyle. Nerd! But that's unreal. And Alexis Ohanian, the Reddit co-founder, teaches you how to launch a startup. And there's, like, there's over 100 other experts out there waiting to teach you something new. It's unreal. So if you are keen to learn some new stuff today, don't screw around. Download the Knowable app or visit knowable.fyi, which is K-N. Well, I need to learn how to spell. KNOWABLE.FYI. Use the code STRAYA. They'll give you 20% off, and you'll love it. Seriously, these things are sick. I love them. Now you can give them a shot. Use the code STRAYA. Get 20% off. Sign up. It's cheap as chips, and I love them. I'll tell you what. All right, let's do a bit of top five season as part of the season preview for this year.
It's top five season.
All right, top five season. Now, do you want to start with the top five predictions of blokes that will win their player awards, or should we just go straight into the standings? Let's go to the standings. So, the final standings I've got, based on my very serious predictions. In the East, I have Milwaukee winning 56 games this year out of 72. That's a huge winning percentage. Huge. 77.8. Philly, I have them winning 50 games out of the 72. Pretty nice. Very nice. Almost 70%. Boston in the 3 seed and Brooklyn in the 4 seed, both at 44 wins. I have your East champion, Miami Heat, at 40 wins. I think there's just a little bit of a step back this year for Miami. In terms of, well, not really, because they're basically the 4-5 seed, but I think Brooklyn overtake them a little bit. I think the top three sort of stick. I think we're going to see a bit of a slip from Toronto, though, because I'm going to have Indy at 6 with 38 wins. Then I have Toronto at 36, tied with Atlanta. And it's pretty crazy to think, but Toronto would actually have to be in the play-in tournament if they were the 7 seed, and that's exactly where I've got them. Atlanta there at the 8, and so are the Wizards. They're all at 36, so interesting to see how that all washes out. Chicago at 34 wins get the last play-in spot, and I think they beat Orlando at 32 and Charlotte, who are at 26. And then the Knicks have 24 wins in the 13 seed. The Cavs, the 14 seed with 18, and the worst team in the NBA will be the Detroit Basketball Pistons with 18 wins, and I think it could even be lower. And in the West, we have Dallas and the Lakers tied at the very top, 48 wins. Denver and the Clippers following them in 3 and 4 at 46 wins apiece. Utah in the fifth spot at 40 wins. Golden State tied with Phoenix, Portland across 6, 7, and 8 with 38 wins. So it's basically going to be who comes out of those three to actually land a guaranteed playoff spot and who actually has to play in the play-in tournament. Houston, I've got them at 36. Who knows if they actually stick there with Harden? And the Pelicans at 34. I don't think Memphis make it this year. They've got 32 wins. Minnesota, 32 as well. Sacramento take a bit of a drop. They're at 30. And the Spurs take a big drop. They're at 24. And OKC, they've got one legit kick-ass NBA player. They're at 18. So tough scene. Now, how does this all wash out? Well, I'll tell you. In the East, your conference finalists will be the Milwaukee Bucks, I heard it's Algonquin for the good land, taking on the Philadelphia 76ers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6ers. And in the West, we will have the Lakers, beating the LA Clippers in the West. And I got a feeling both of these conference finals are going to be absolute classics this year. I think Dallas trip up against the Clippers, basically running into them again, which will be hilarious. And Dallas won't quite have enough to get past them in the semis, even though I think Dallas will end up with an equal one seed with the Lakers. So, but that leaves us with a Philly and Lakers NBA Finals, and I have Philly winning it in six. Can you believe it? I certainly can't. That's why it's a prediction, and I'm hoping that it'll happen. Who knows? But that'd be fun. I just feel like Doc Rivers is going to come in, kick some ass, take some names, and go, right, this is what you've been doing wrong. We've now got some shooters around Simo. We've got Embiid. He's a little bit older. Let's go. Let's dance. Let's see how this goes. And away we will go. Right, what else we got, though? So, do you want to do the top five of all of the awards? Because I think we ought to. That's where we're at. Let's do it. Where do you want to start? Most improved player this year? Michael Porter Jr. Followed up by DeJounte Murray. Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander out there in OKC. Kobe White and Lonzo Ball. What? Yeah, I feel like Lonzo's the cracks in Lonzo's games will be papered over by a much better team this year. You know what I'm saying? So I think he'll be just about okay. I've got Chris Bobby Boucher there as well as a honorable mention. Same for Lauri Markkanen, Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. The problem is he's going to be injured to start the season. Mavi Bagues and DeAndre Ayton. Now, if you listen to this show, you understand that if you've been drafted basically in the top three or four, I don't think you should actually win most improved because that's what you're meant to be. It's not the living up to your potential award. It's the most improved player award. So Bagues and Ayton, I think they'll be really good this year, but they shouldn't be there for most improved. Coach of the year, I think we're going to see Monty Williams win this in a bit of a canter. I think the Suns will be a lot better than they were last year. And we're like, wow, Monty Williams really turned this around, didn't he? It's a half last year award and this year award. Same for Frank Vogel. I think he got pretty overlooked last year, rightly so. LeBron's coaching them. But I think this year the narrative sort of switches. If the Lakers end up with another one seed in a very, very tough West, you might see Frankie Vogel getting a bit of a look. The same goes for number three, Rick Carlisle. If the Dallas Mavs take a big, big leap and they're in the top two, three in the West, Rick Carlisle's definitely going to get a look in. Same goes for Buds over there in the East with Milwaukee. They could win an absolute crap ton of games and he might win again. And look, the honorable, you know, the five through, you know, the six, I think Mike Malone, if Denver are good again, will also definitely get a look in. And Stan Van Gundy, if we see the Pelicans actually sort of outshine expectations, he'll be right up there too, which would be pretty funny. Dude couldn't get a gig after being shit canned by Detroit, gets a shot. And if Zion powers them with his giant rig to a bit of glory, who knows what could happen. Sixth man of the year, Patty Mills. Patty Thrills. Love it. Tyler, there goes my hero. Number two, Michael Porter Jr., Montrez, and the jingling one, Jingling Joe Ingles. It's interesting because I don't know if Lou Will's going to have as much of an impact this year. And I think Patty Mills is just going to have, you know, the absolute torrid year that we all expect. That'll be fun as hell. Defensive player of the year, Ben Simmons or Anthony Davis, who you got? I want to go with Simo. I think we're going to get a moment where Doc Rivers is really, really good at selling his players, right? He's like, man, you don't even know how good Ben Simmons is. And you're like, all right, thanks, Doc. AD will be awesome. Bam will be awesome. Jimmy Butler also pop up there, and so do Will. Rudy Gobert, Estafel Tower. Rookie of the year. I've got Isaac Okoro now. Now, I was really, really low on Okoro on draft night. Having watched him in preseason, I'm like, this dude is a fucking bad MFR. He just plays hard. I love it. Give me some Okoro. LaMelo, I think he comes in two or three just because he's not going to hit enough shots. I just think, yeah, he'd be two up and down shooting-wise. And you'll have like some pretty crazy nights where you're like, oh, did he just shoot like 3 of 19? What the hell is going on in Charlotte? Ty Halliburton over there in Sacramento as well. I think he'll be very, 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 very good on a bad, bad, bad. Maybe better than we expect. Who knows? Sacramento team. Because no one knows what Sacramento are going to be like. Is De'Aaron Fox going to be a world beater? Who knows? But Halliburton will be fine. Killian Hayes as well. I think he'll be given a big chance to shine on a horrible, horrible Detroit team. And Josh Greeny Green. I wanted to put him five, but I feel like Obi Toppin. Ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin will get way more of the shine because he's in New York. That's how it goes. And also, I mean, he'll be given a chance to. So, I mean, what else have they got there in New York? MVP. I've already said this in you know, a couple of Jimmy's sneaky good bets to start the season. LeBron James. If he puts up pretty good numbers all year, they end up with a one seed or a two seed in the West. The narrative that he put into He got the wheels spinning last year, didn't he? Of like, oh, man, I can't believe I didn't win MVP, bro. Oh, yeah, geez, I guess you voters just don't, like, appreciate what I do. I think this will be the last year that he will have a really, really, really good shot at actually just winning the MVP outright rather than just, like, collecting finals MVP after finals MVP. And we might see the narrative swing his way because Giannis is not going to win it. Giannis is going to be really good, and he'll go top five, but he's not going to win it just because the voters are going to go, ah, does he really deserve three in a row? The dude can't even make the finals, man. I've got Luka coming in second MVP, Steph 3, Dame 4, and Giannis and Jokic 5, 6, whatever you want to throw in there. I think they'll be both good. I think Dame will be the sneaky one, and so is Steph. I think Steph, if Golden State are half decent, again, the narrative will swing towards, look what he's doing with a crap team without Klay. It's like, bro, they've got the number 2 pick. They've got Draymond. They've got NBA players. They're all right. Aren't they? The scoring title, I still think Harden wins this. I think Booker comes second. Trae Young will be up there. Brad Beal. I think Steph will be up there too. Keep an eye on Donovan Mitchell. He came on pretty hardcore last year. The assist title, I think this will be between LeBron and Trae Young. And maybe Big Simo, but Trae Young has also now got Rondo and Chris Dunn, so maybe not as much playmaking. So maybe LeBron, Big Simo, Ben Simmons, CP3, Luka will be right up there as well. So I'm going to go LeBron, Simo, Trae, CP3, and Luka. Rebound champion, I mean, Andre Drummond, really, who cares? Giannis, Embiid, Ayton, and Kat. And the blocks. Rudy Gobert, Gustavo Tower will stifle enough shots to win the block title. Brook Lopez comes in second. Miles Turner, number 3, bam, at 4, and AD at 5. And there you go. That is all of the predictions laid out for you. So go spend some money. Just make sure you bet responsibly. And that's pretty fun. And then we'll go do some yeah nahs right after. How about Creaky?
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, time for some yeah nahs. They are brought to you by the DailyLiquor.com from Eastside Brewing. Remember, if you're in Melbourne, you've only got a couple of days left before Chrissy, so you better jump on the DailyLiquor.com, stock up on all the booze that you need. Maybe you need to buy some prezzies. Well, if you get in there, make some orders, buy some wine, buy some cocktails, boom! You're like boozy Santa. This is great, and they'll drop them off to your house. This is the best part. Well, you know, the best part on top of the free beers I'm about to give you. If you use the code STRAYER, when you place your order at thedailyliquor.com, they'll give you a free six-pack of the Dos X. What better way to celebrate not only Christmas, but the start of the NBA season than with a free sixer of the Red Devils, the Dos X XPA, the Dos Blocos XPA. We had the Squid's birthday in the park the other day. It was awesome. I had some of the Dos X's there. A couple of family members like, Jimmy, is this the one that you've been yelling about? I'm like, yes. And they're like, it's really easy to drink. I'm like, no shit, bro. I've been only yelling about it for the last year. Jesus. Anyway, the Dos Blocos X, it crushes. I got the sample three-quarter IPAs in the fridge. The NBA Australia fantasy draft tonight. That'll be fun. Knock back a few of those. Make some bad decisions. Classic. Either way, use the code STRAY. You get a free sixer of the Dos X when you're buying some last-minute Chrissy's presents from thedailyliquor.com. Thank us all later. All right, yeah, Nas, let's do it. Take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or nah. Number one, does James Harden get traded before tip of the season, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened where we would have enough time for him to actually rock up to a new city, find the, you know, local best strip clubs, get the Rona somehow, or show off his amazing, like, immunity to the Rona, and then really settle in. But yeah, I think like catching the end of training camp, etc., would have been pretty important for any team that was trading for him, especially if they're a half decent smart team like Boston or the Raptors. I can't quite see it happening in the next couple of days, right? So I don't know. It'll probably happen, and I think it'll be when Houston get the right deal. Matt Owers, he asked Jimmy, is Rudy worth it? We mentioned this at the top. Yeah, nah, look, I don't really actually think Rudy, 5 years, 205 mil, I don't think he's actually worth it. Because it's $41 million. You're going to be paying a 33-year-old French bloke who can't shoot threes $41 million. Awesome. Yeah, enjoy that. Like, they've had success. He's been a huge part of it all defensively for the Jazz. And by the time you sort of get to the point where he's 32, 33, I don't know. Because I'm a bit dubious. Gobert's been really, really good. He's switchier than you'd think. He's better on the perimeter than you'd think. He's not quite Bam. He's not quite AD. But he's pretty bloody good. He's one of the best rim protectors we've got. He also can't shoot. And you do wonder if there's like a limit to his usefulness down the track. We can see how you can be Roy Hibberted out of the league real quick, right? But at the same time, he's only 27. He's super fit. He's super gangly. Whereas the Roy Hibbert kind of vibe was always he was a bit slow-footed. He was a bit heavy at times, weird shaped body, and Gobert is a proven all NBA dude over these last couple of years. You pay for it. Sometimes, look, you look at it and go, Tristan Thompson is still cutting checks. Gobert's all NBA. It can be over for big dudes who can't shoot real quick, but sometimes you're the Jazz and you just got to go fuck it. You know, sometimes you just got to go fuck it. So I think you can pay Sabonis, Turner, Bam, Cat. You can pay them all the money. Gobert is going to be a fascinating litmus test, isn't he? Where you go, we can build an awesome defense around him. What are the limits on offense? Sometimes it's not going to matter if we have enough shooting, and the Jazz seemed to do that last year. You know, Bojan, Conley, Donny Mitch, Royce O'Neal, the jingling one, Jordan Jeremy Clarkson. So maybe it works, and that's kind of the thing. I'm going to talk about this in a second. It's going to be the unpopular opinion of the day. The thing is this a case of the new owner syndrome? Yeah, nah. I mean, I think it kind of yeah and nah is, right? Like, it isn't and it isn't. Because this was going to happen anyway. The fact that the Jazz have now got a new owner meant that it would definitely happen because he now gets to swan around with a big old big dick swagger. Like, look, I paid this French bloke who shut down the entire NBA by being a fuckwit. I gave him $200 million. How good's that? Look how rich I am. Woo! But at the same time, it was going to happen. So it's kind of yeah and no. It wasn't like the new owner came and went, we have to pay Rudy, you know, but still. It's just a weird one. 205 mil, 5 years. You got to do it. Whatever. Do you though? Do you? What are you winning with Rudy Gobert? I'll get to that in a second. Did Kuzma deserve that? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, that's fine because you're kind of paying for the hope that Kuzma steps up just that little bit next year and then maybe another bit the year after and you've got his rights. You're not paying, you know, through the nose for him. So that's kind of cool. It's not a max extension on a rookie deal, so you'll take it. Yeah. Brad McKeegan asked, Jimmy, you got your play-in tournament in the NBL. Yeah, nah. Will you now be the Southeast Melbourne Magic Phoenix number one ticket holder this year? Yeah, nah. Look, I'm fucking trying, Brad. Look, I am actually really wanting to be the Southeast Melbourne Magic Phoenix number one ticket holder down the track. That'd be awesome. To be honest, though, I'm also just wanting to figure out how I can get some tickets and just go there because I wouldn't mind this. But the cool thing is, so the NBL announced they're doing a Melbourne hub. 36 games from February goes to the NBL Cup. That should be called the Gaze Cup. What are we doing? It's the Gaze Cup. Fuck off. But that also counts for the season, which is pretty cool. So it makes a fuck ton of sense, especially with the COVID cluster up there in New South Wales. So the NBL season kicks off Jan 10. They play the first, 39 games in your local spots across the first 37 days. And then everybody moves to Melbourne for the hub to test the NBL Cup. So it's pretty smart. Like, keeps everything a bit localized. But obviously for the NBL, it's just them going, well, we own Melbourne. So let's make all the money. And good on him. Sure. Right. Jimmy, does Luka win MVP this year? Yeah, nah. Look, this one got thrown out the other day at the Squid's birthday barbie. And I kind of want to say yeah. Look, I've made the case for LeBron. I think LeBron wins it. I think it'll be an argument between Giannis, Luka, and LeBron all year. And I think LeBron just wins the narrative. And everyone will be like, oh, Luka will win it next year. And he probably will. I think this is LeBron's last fuck you hurrah. And Luka might have to wait an extra year. Yeah. All right. There you go. What about the unpopular opinion of the day, Jimmy?
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at like Lockerboy.
Right, for all that said, I'm actually okay with the Yaz paying Gobert. Because sometimes, look, fuck it. You're good. We've seen the Jazz just stick with it before. Stockton and Malone. That's how it went. Then they tried to do it again with Jeremy Williams and Carlos Boozer. Unfortunately, when they tried to do it, those two, they forgot that they were both fucking head cases. Now they've got Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert locked in long term for big fucking money. You build around the edges. And as we've sort of seen, you can trade for someone like Conley on a massive deal if you're happy to pay for it. But suddenly, maybe you get lucky. You know, if you've got an elite defense, we just saw the Lakers get through the West with an elite defense in the bubble. You've got an absolute explosive scorer in Donnie Mitchell, who can go toe-to-toe with literally anybody. He went toe-to-toe with Jam and Jamal Murray in one of the matchups of the century. But if you pay Gobert, you pay Mitchell, it's like, right, well, there's the nucleus. We've got the pieces around them. We've already paid Bojan. We've paid Jingles. We've extended Jingles. We've got Conley here for at least another year of big money. We've extended Jordan Jeremy Clarkson. We've got big dude shooting. Let's see what happens. Can we get through the West? Fingers crossed. And like, who knows what could happen. The problem is, I'm just not entirely convinced their like perimeter D is actually going to be good enough to get them through the West. So, I don't know. The Utah Jazz thing, everyone was psyched on them last year. What's going to happen this year? Are they the inevitable post-hype team that actually bounces back and kicks ass? If you're a Yaz fan, he's hoping. It's going to be awesome to see. What about Outback Takeouts? It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means. Oh, yes, Davo hit an emu driving down the highway, and he's holding Rodeo Ute. So we've put it up on the specials board as Alice Springs Chicken, only at Outback. I'll tell you what, that bird tastes delicious. But today's flame grill take is China stopped Linsanity from signing with the Warriors just as one last fuck you to Adam Silver, the NBA, and the USA at large. Because they know that he'd add about $200 million to the bottom line of a team that signed him. Only at Outback. Look, for a team so connected to the Asian community like the Warriors, it's an amazing move, and it would have been an incredible like financial move as well. I mentioned this earlier, right? So when I was with the Nets, you know, at the Nets games with my season tickets, it's awesome. They signed Jeremy Lin, goes down within the first couple of games. It all goes to shit. Every time he tried to come back, the hype was real. Everyone was losing it. And in terms of like the merch sales, in terms of the ticket sales, they fucking skyrocketed. And it's all because of Jeremy Lin. He's a great dude. Awesome dude. Fun basketball player. Linsanity will always have it. But yeah, Golden State just going, well, we're going to offset some of the fucking COVID money losses that we're copying this year by signing Jeremy Lin to a minimum deal. We're also going to be paying luxury tax out the nose this year. We'll sign Jeremy Lin and we'll make some of that back on the back end. It's smart. They're light years ahead. All right. Let's take a quick break and be back with the game previews. Here we go. Right after, let's say this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Bit of a season opening Patty Mills game day baller game day Twitter check-in. Bit excited about this. Patty Mills, let's go. Just still out there tweeting. And this is a great one because Patty Mills tweeted out, thanks, SI Now, a very proud husband. While I focus on an NBA season and Olympic year, Alyssa's persistent efforts in the community, her strong connection to our culture and the joy she brings to others continues to inspire me to achieve more. And it's an SI Now piece on Patty and his wife, and it is absolutely unreal. So the tweet that they tweeted out was, she has definitely helped me stay true to who I am and what my identity is. Patty Mills shares how his wife Alyssa inspires him to make an impact that is bigger than sports. It is absolutely unreal. So great job, Patty. Go check that out. Sports Illustrated, Patty Mills retweeted that. That is absolutely awesome. Patty Mills for PM. All right, let's do it. We're finally here. Game previews.
Game previews.
Game previews.
Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane. It's good to have you back.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How did the squid's birthday go on the weekend?
I'll tell you what. Running around, organizing the squid's birthday all Saturday morning, and then just like basically propping up the Barbie, getting all the food over to the, like just lugging stuff out all the way over the park, getting it all set up, and then him just like running around like a mad dog with some of his cousins and stuff like that was awesome. He was all tucking out. It was great. So good on him. But anyway, let's do it. Let's preview the first two games of this NBA season. Warriors, Nets, and Clippers, Lakers starting on Wednesday. Yeah, we're not going to do a show tomorrow, so this will be, we'll do a show Wednesday wrapping up these two games. So, a new thing that we're going to do this year is we're going to have, for every single one of the game previews, we're going to do three daily fantasy picks for the players that I like the most for the price points they're at, for a bit of the fantasy crew out there, and we're going to have a winner and then a pick against the spread. So, remember last year, I think all up, we went 575 out of 1,072 picks in the end. So not bad in the end. I think that was against the spread for the most part. So here we go. Right. Warriors, Nets, NBA season kicks off. KD against his old team. Steph looking spry, going against Kyrie. Kyrie, KD together at last in Brooklyn for a game that matters. Get excited. Steph Curry is the obvious daily fantasy play here. He's at 9,300, which is actually pretty low. And I kind of like that a lot, but not as much as I like Joe Harris at 4,800. I think Joe Harris is going to be a massive beneficiary, there you go, of KD and Kyrie this season. Open threes everywhere. And then the other player that I want to take as a DFS pick for this game is going to be Kelly Oubre Jr. He's only at 6,700. The old DFS, so get in on that. I think he takes up a lot of the Clay slack. We know that Draymond can't score. Wiseman's a bit too young. Kelly Oubre Jr. is going to be out there filling it up. So there you go. Curry, Harris, and Oubre are the three picks for DFS. Now, as for the actual game, the Nets will win this one, I reckon, at home against Golden State. Thing is, they're 7-point favorites, and I actually kind of like Golden State plus 7, just because I think it'll be a very close game, and I think Golden State will be really fun and in with a shot late to even win it, but I think the Nets just get over the line and get the win. Now, Clippers, Lakers, woo! Battle of LA. The battle we never knew we needed, apparently. The DFS picks for this one are pretty straightforward as well. Anthony Davis, he's at 10,000, but I mean, the way he's going to come out of the blocks, I reckon, in this first game, especially against a Clippers team that's like, hey, we've plugged all of our big guy holes, and it's like Serge Ibaka. And you're like, all right, Anthony Davis is going to eat it up. He's at $10,000 for your DFS, but who cares? He's going to crush it. Another Clipper I like is Marcus Morris. Mook Morris, he's only at 5,100. That's a great plug and play, I think, for your DFS. And again, another Clipper is going to be my next one. Luke, the Duckman, Kennard. That's why, quack, quack. 3,600. I think he's going to be the new Lou Will this year. So give me some Kennard. That's three Clippers. That's pretty crazy. But look, oh no, we had Davis as the first one, so it's a Laker. Davis, Mook Morris, and a bit of the Duckman. Luke Kennard, they're my DFS picks. We're going to see how this goes. And we'll keep track of all these DFS picks all the way through the season. I'll tell you what, in the recaps, it's going to be awesome. We'll see how we go. And what we're going to do, we're going to roll this in to a look at some of the best fantasy players. If you've got some of these players on your weekly fantasy team, you know, if you're a part of the NBA Australia fantasy community or the wider ball fantasy community, just keep an eye on some of these, and we'll keep track of it, and we'll see how we go. Sound good? I hope so. So, for the actual pick between Lakers and the Clippers, I think the Clippers, having watched the Lakers get their rings, will actually win this one. They're actually underdogs. They're 2.5-point underdogs, and I'm going to take the Clippers plus 2.5, because I think the Clippers have spent the entire sort of offseason getting crapped on. I think Ty Lue's got them fired up. I think Paul George comes out absolutely throwing flames. So I'm going to take the Clippers plus 2.5. And that'll be awesome. Anyway, so there you go. If you want to go look at some odds, go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials if you need to. And if you're going to use DFS, go to draftkings.com.au. Legendary. All right. There you go. That's it for today. NBA's back next show. Can you believe that? I certainly can't. What a turnaround. I love it. Everybody's like, oh, I can't wait for Christmas and New Year's. I got a break. I'm like, ah, oh, blow it out your ass. I'm going to be down the beach working. Anyway, that's it for today. We are back on Wednesday, wrapping up those first two games, previewing the next two games. So we'll do a show Monday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. That'll be fun as. So a pick for the 2021 title, Philly, MVP LeBron. Get excited. Go spend some money if you want. Go back, listen to the most improved picks. Put some money on those if you want. You know, there you go. Right. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Would you buy some merch? Buy a t-shirt. Buy a hoodie. Buy a stubby holder. Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on your Android phone. It does help out heaps. Go get around the dailyliquor.com. Use the code STRAYA. Get a free six-pack of the delicious DOS X. Go to knowable.fyi or download the Knowable app. Use the code STRAYA and get 20% off. And I'll tell you what, you'll get smarter with Knowable. Just trust me. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. There, I'm running out of time. It's out now and it's awesome. Massive thanks also goes to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, iOS, Tech Shadow, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Tough year for bands. Support them any way you can. And remember, we've also got the NBA Australia Fantasy this year. We're going to be doing daily updates. Well, daily. Weekly, daily updates. We'll keep it everybody sort of in touch and in tune with what's going on in the NBA Australia Fantasy Leagues. If you haven't signed up, go check out the NBA Australia Facey. We're doing it on Yahoo. Got a couple of leagues. Should be awesome. Really looking forward to that. Looking forward to getting my ass kicked by all of yous out there, which will be awesome. All right, let's close off today's show with a brand new deli review of Christmas classic Die Hard. All right, we'll catch you on Wednesday, dickheads. The NBA's back, baby! Woo! And this is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And Lederhosen. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your mate Deli over here, just swinging by in time for Chrissy. Yep, it's my favourite time of the year. Boxing Day, Boxing Day, smash the tins. Plenty of prezzies and shit from the rallies is being sent over from Australia. And I'm sending hoops and hoops and shit back home to Australia, making sure there's no Rona in there. Apart from the Rona tins I've packed from the best mate Plugger and shit. But also lots of awesome food and junk. I fucking love Chrissy. And now we've got the added kid as part of the deli gang, as well as Thon and Donnie living in the guest house. But the best part is, Chrissy just got way more special and way fucker busier. Because, like, fucking six of Thon's cousins and brothers just rocked up the other day. So the missus is going absolutely fucking spare. And I'm like, nah, it's all right. I'll just fucking buy a couple more bunk beds, chuck him in the guest house, and away we go. And I'll tell you what, it fucking worked the treat. Bob's your uncle. Tell you what, just fucking whacked him in there in the guest house, away we went. Tell you what, though, the plumbing has been copping a fucking pounding back there, though. Joseph. Anyway, so look, I'll tell you what, it's been a pretty bloody rowdy lot around here for the last week or so. But it looks like Thon's made the team, so everyone's a bit happy about this here in Cleveland, so stoked on that. But the cool thing was, everyone's just running around madcap this last week. So the one thing is, it shut everyone up on Saturday night was when I was like, right, we're all sitting down and we're all watching a Chrissy classic, you dickheads. So I got them all to pull up a pew in the living room, lined them all up, the squid as well, because it's never too early to get introduced to the Christmas movie that is the best one of all time, bloody Die Hard. And I'll tell you what, Thon and his mates had never seen it. And after they watched it, though, oh, Jesus, They spent the next 2 days rewatching it and reenacting the takeover of the fucking Nakatomi Plaza and shit. They made Don A. Hans Gruber and shit a bunch of times. And they're like, fucking fuck you, Hans. And he's like, what do I do? Fuck, jeez. And, oh, you know, they all took turns of being John McClane. Oh, I even got to be John McClane once as well for shits and giggles. And, oh, tell you what, it's been the best thing fucking ever. I don't often get emotional, but this has been fucking incredible. Like, just introducing a new generation, Ms. Squid included, to the exploits of, you know, New York City police officer John McClane's heroics and his buddy Argyle and shit. And the other cop, Al, who's out there eating Twinkies and shit. It's just the best, man. It's just the best because it does teach you all the very valuable lesson that Christmas is for family and never trust the Germans. So, yeah, there you go. Obviously, it's the best movie ever made. Die Hard gets 1 million deli ones out of 10. So make sure you complete your Chrissy with the best ever movie made about it and get around it. So, look, I'm going to just, like, stop tearing up over here for a second and go play Die Hard with my mates one more time. So Merry Christmas to all of you. Have a safe and merry time. And I'll be back next week with another pop culture review. So, later, fuckers. Get some tins up, ya. Deli out.